Reason versus tribal politics. Well, one of them's got spears.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for March 27th, 2017. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Thank you, Janine Fadich, and thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. We got some sad news, folks. I'm sorry. And I'm getting an email about the podcast now, which is nice.
Oh, good.
But anyway, this will be, we're saying goodbye to Craig Collins.
Yeah, sorry about that.
He's joined the Russian mafia.
I'm going immediately into hiding. It's been wonderful.
But we're going to miss you a lot, man. We really are.
So yeah, I'm going to miss the show. You guys are great, and this is a really fun time. So,
good time had by all.
Mm-hmm.
And fun to listen to.
I like listening to it, even though part of it's now my voice, which is weird always to listen to, but it's been great. So
you're in radio. Does that still get weird? I mean, that's
not as weird as it used to. It used to be a lot different when you first start. So the more you do it, the more normal it gets, I think.
Yeah, I guess.
But still, listening to yourself always kind of feels like vain. Every time that I do something and it's my own stuff, I listen to it. And if I even ask someone else to do it, that feels very odd and self-centered.
And I'm always self-critical of my own voice.
Yeah, see, in that too.
Well, Janine has this great voice.
Oh,
sexy, as it's been described by some of our listeners, by the way. And I think they're
who? Right.
I can't tell you. No, I don't know. Because
are you writing yourself?
I don't know. Is that
there was
metaphor?
A long pause. There was a long pause there.
Writing, not writing.
Here we go.
Am I writing myself? Well,
I think we need to move on here.
Let's move on. Shall we? We're Miss Craig and writing ourselves. This week's Prickly City, we had the congressional mice. I thought that was kind of funny. They're just playing dead. I always think dead mice are funny.
Yes, and we actually had a comment on that.
Oh, no. What?
57 Dawn said. No, he just said, not much hope in Congress. There may be a few senators that still know how to make waves.
I disagree. I think they know how to make waves. I do not.
Just not legislation.
First time, and this is now it's the old man stay off my lawn moment that we love in this podcast. But seriously, as a younger person growing up, you had lions in the Senate. Maybe that was because there was no 24/7 news cycle. There wasn't all social media. But you had people like Daniel Patrick Moynihan. You had people like. I'm trying to think of some of the Republicans on the other. Well, even Howard Baker, who became majority leader and later President Reagan's head of the White House. So chief of staff, rather. So you had lions. You had big people, important people who thought deeply. I mean, going back to Daniel Patrick Moynihan, even though he had a D after his name, I respect him enormously. And because he was worthy of it. He wrote a book every 2 years.
Wow.
He wrote the book. It wasn't
Daniel
Patrick Moynihan with Craig Collins, you know,
Craig wrote the book.
Yeah, it's not. He was a remarkable individual. A lot of these people, mostly men, were extraordinary individuals and great leaders for this country. And they're gone. We don't. I can't speak to or think of a single person in the legislature, in the House or the Senate, that I would raise to that level. If any of you listening right now could shoot me a note, maybe there's someone I'm unawares of, but. So we talked about Congress. There is not a lot of hope. I think I've even described them as profiles in pudding at some point in the strip. We talk about tribalism, and I talk about reason winning out. I'm not, you know, and there are days when I'm really optimistic of this, and there are days when I am not.
Well, a lot of readers aren't quite as optimistic either. C-minus Comics and Story says reason will always lose to faith. Coffee Cup says it doesn't matter that it's frightening. Reason will lose because it's constrained by scruples. Crazy has no scruples and will do whatever it takes to get its way. And the Republicans will use it for a permanent total power. All they care about. And Oakstone said...
That's hogwash. That is hogwash.
Said, not any different from the Democrats then.
Okay. Yeah, precisely. I mean, both sides are just... they're children. They're just nattering, nasty, bullying children right now. But here's my hope, is if you look at the arc of history, if you look at the ebb and flow of how things go, reason does win. Then bat crap crazy wins. Then reason wins again. It goes back and forth. I mean, the church finally, it took 500 years, mm-hmm. but they forgave Galileo.
Well, that's nice of them. Yeah.
You know.
It's good.
You know.
Better late than never.
My point is that it takes time, and if you're patient and if you have faith in the good side of human beings, I don't. Well, because we're driven by, you know, now we're going, and this is stuff that actually the strip is all about, and people don't get that about Prickly City. It's all about the duality of humanity, you know, the good versus evil, the self versus the whole. That's what this is all about. The strip has always been about that. I'm not sure if people get it, but it's always in a duality in myself. I mean, there are parts of me that are very selfish and want to do what's right by Scott, and then there are those rare moments when I'm a nice guy. But they, you know, there's
not
a balance.
Rare.
Okay,
it happens often.
That should happen more often. But anyway, do you see what I'm saying? I mean, does that make any sense? And so that's what this discussion last week was about: is that, you know, if you don't have hope, then why live? You know, if you think that things are going down the crapper, if they will never improve, then why in the world would you stay on this planet? May as well check out and go see what's on the other side.
And you have to do something to try to help.
Well, and it can be small. It doesn't have to be big. It can be, you know, our priest gave a terrific sermon at church the other week, and I've tried to start to do that. And that is, instead of just handing a quarter or 50 cents, if you've got it, to the guy begging, and here in Chicago, we have a lot of them. But when you hand them the buck or whatever, you say, hey, what's your name, by the way? And they say, you know, Felonius or Jim or whatever. And you go, hey, Jim, I'm Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And you had that human moment. And it's
you give them a little dignity.
Yeah. It's not huge. It's not, you know, it's not magnanimous by any stretch.
It doesn't cost you anymore.
Well, it cost me the dollar.
I mean, still, if you were going to give it to them anyway, it doesn't cost you anymore to be kind and look in their eye.
Right. So, I mean, so it's just small gestures, small things, one molecule building on another, and all of a sudden you've got a solar system and a universe. And that's how these things work.
That was beautiful. Just say that out loud. That was very nice. I'm going to solo clap it. Solo clap it. Okay, continue.
Please, when the plate is passed around, give generously to the Church of the Perpetual Scott.
Well, here's a couple comments that I think lead into your tribal politics thing. Radish says Republican Trump is driving everyone insane, but Hillary had an email problem or something, to which NightGaunt49 says it wasn't a problem till others made it so. And I think that really adds to the tribal politics, because what she did with the emails, I think, was wrong. They found that she was extremely careless, if not criminal, but we talked to people who had to sign the same type of...
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's okay to say that someone on your side is wrong, that the email's wrong. You don't have to completely defend her. You could say, but still, I would rather vote for her than Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's not as wrong as the three wives, the grabbing women by the...
Right.
or the questionable financial dealings of a madman.
But you still have to go ahead and say, okay, this part on my side is wrong.
Yeah, which I do in the strip. I do in my editorial cartoons. And I think a lot of commentators particularly don't. They drink the Kool-Aid or the... Flavor mix?
Flavor Aid.
We talked about this last week. Flavor Aid from Chicago. Used in Jonestown.
I still haven't tried that. I got to get some Flavor Aid.
Yeah, I don't know. Why? I mean, seriously. It's the cheaper version of Kool-Aid. What's Kool-Aid? 15 cents a pack?
Yeah. So I don't know what it has to live up to for me to be impressed by it, but I want to try some.
And it all tastes nasty anyway.
No, it doesn't. I like Kool-Aid. I love Kool-Aid.
Put enough sugar in it.
When you tasted it when you were an adult, you thought it was disgusting.
Well, here's the thing. You have to understand about my mom. My mother was the only French woman or French person ever born on the planet who could not cook.
Wait, are you saying she made Kool-Aid bad?
Yes.
No,
wow.
I made Kool-Aid and it was still bad.
No, she made Kool-Aid and did not put the sugar in.
Oh, that is bad.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But still, even with the sugar, it's not good.
She did not understand packaging.
That is impressively
Once
bad.
You get past 12, it's not good.
There are two steps to Kool-Aid. Pack it, sugar, and then have water, probably.
So
and
three.
That's it. Yeah, three. I guess three. You need water first. That is amazing to miss one.
Yeah, no. You were talking about a woman who decided to make fish soup. She did not believe in reading instructions nor recipes. So she just threw a whole fish in boiling water.
Oh.
For three hours.
And that tasted delicious.
Oh, my God. We, you know, she served a typical three brothers, and she serves this stuff up, and we're all like, oh, yeah, I'm not drinking, I'm not going to touch it, I'm not going to eat that. My dad, you're going to eat that, or I'll give you something to eat about, or whatever threat he threw at us, until he actually tasted it and spit it out. So, yeah, that was my childhood.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, when they said, just like mom used to make.
Yeah.
I knew.
It's so much better.
So, yeah, sugarless Kool-Aid.
Well, D-Don says, we are in the middle of a class war between the haves and the have-nots, and the haves are stacking the deck.
Yeah.
And William says, yep, the crazies are the loonies with nothing in between. So
yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah, I think we're going to repeat ourselves. Let's just keep going with the comments, because I'm not sure if there's much to add to that other than, yeah.
Correct.
We have Dan who said, why choose sides? They're pretty much the same. Offensive, unethical, and self-serving. Whether you join the white party or the black party, you still become a bigot because I rarely hear anyone talk about any positive and honorable accomplishments of their present party and its members, but how vile and offensive the other guys are. I think they are both embarrassing and divisive.
Well, all this discussion, I've been having talks, discussions, and conversations with friends about, is there room now to have the discussion about creating, you know, they keep mentioning the soft, you know, the soft, vast middle, but does it actually exist? Will people, if someone or something stepped forward with a moderate stance on things, or would they be decimated by, if you're running in a Democratic district, would you be decimated by a far left candidate, or conversely, in a Republican, by a far right?
I think that Armageddon just happened in the studio.
Apparently this is a smoke alarm.
Yeah.
Huh.
Good luck to us.
Well, we're all going to die.
Well, I think...
Huh. Well, problem solved. Woot!
Wow. I think most people are... A lot of people are in the middle, just the politicians aren't. And it's just
but
harder
they,
to
But
get
the politicians,
them.
How do they get there, sweetheart? They're elected. They're elected. People vote for them and they get the most votes. So clearly there is some appeal to these people and that extreme view.
I'm proud of you both as professionals because that alarm made me think that we're all going to die. I've never heard one of those before.
Oh, what's the worst?
Maybe if you don't see flames.
What's the worst that can happen? Yeah.
Yeah, we're in a radio studio. We'll be fine.
No one's screaming out of you at bar or anything.
Right,
so
Ryan's not freaking out yet, so I think we're okay. All right, good.
Yeah, he's just smiling on the phone. So.
Yep.
It doesn't look like he ever freaks out. He seems calm.
Yes.
Well, that man is a Marine, too, so he would save us if there's
yeah.
some sort of horrible Armageddon upon us.
Okay.
I expect Brian to run in here.
Throw himself over us. For no other reason.
Drag all three of us out. That sounds great. Great last show for me.
That's good, right? Yeah. He was dragged out by a Marine. He came in the way he left. He left the way he came in. Dragged in by a Marine.
Oh, my God.
Any other comments, sweetie?
Oh, well, we have a 7'10" says, still haven't seen any contrition from Stantis through Carmen that his party is responsible for this mess. But I think he's getting closer.
Horse crap. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is he actually 7'10"? Because if he is, I'm not going to diss him. But if he's not...
I'm not sure what part is 7'10" that he's referring to. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I couldn't disagree more. I when I make fun of Congress, for instance, guess who I'm making fun of there, buddy?
Yep.
It's run by the Republicans. Hence, I mean, just take a few extra steps. Honest to God. Okay, go on, please. I'm just going to get mad. I don't want to get mad.
Well, Thomas Thieme writes, a conservative holding Trump accountable, there's a ray of hope. Maybe we can all agree this president is a douchebag that's costing us more than we'll ever reap.
Yeah, I hope I set an example that when the Democrats have their D-bag president, they'll be strong enough to stand up and say, point and
be like
say,
Scott.
Be like Scott.
Boom.
Be like D-bag Scott. Wait.
Wait a minute.
We done? Is that what that's? Janine's like.
She's doing that. It, she's Xing you. She's.
Oh, is she having a seizure? I don't know.
I think Janine has seen the fire, by the way. I think she's the first one leaving. She knows there's a fire in the studio.
Subtle. Subtle. Yeah. Like, okay,
she sees
now.
The disgruntled employee with the gun walking down the hall or
if
something.
If any of us are alive next week, you'll hear another show.
See, Scott doesn't get those kind of things. When he says something I don't want him to say and I kind of give him that little mm-hmm. kick, he says,
yeah.
Why are you kicking me?
It's like, well, you married me for my looks, not my intelligence. Thank goodness that those have held up so damn well over the years. Anyway, okay, Janine is absolutely right. We have come to the end of this week's edition of the Prickly Seed Podcast. I want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank Janine, of course, and Craig. Listen,
yep.
We really are going to miss you, buddy.
Well, thank you so much. I love being a part of the show.
We love having you a part.
Cool.
So, let's see. I want to thank WGN Plus and WGN for providing all the goodies and all the fancy electronics for doing this thing. If you want to keep up with the exploits of Carmen and Winslow, go to gocomics.com/PricklyCity or go to scottstantis.com. Also, if you want to leave a comment there, if it's really provocative and interesting, we'll read it on the podcast, or you can actually email us directly. We are so available to people. just send it to PricklyCity@gmail.com. Again, thank you so much. And great, Craig.
Mm-hmm. See you later.
The last reference I screw
I've
up.
I've already forgotten
Craig.
Him.
Some guy.
Craig, thanks for everything.
Sure.
And to everyone listening, thank you. And until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.